Amen. Good morning. Oh, that was weak.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm still kind of used to being at children's camp and VBS and other things. And when you say good morning, usually you're trying to get them all pumped up and get them ready for the day. And so to hear that, it's like, oh man, you guys are still asleep. Billy, you putting them to sleep? I'm just kidding. Billy does a great job. I'm excited for him to be here. I love Billy. I love to roast Billy. He's just fun to be around. He always does it to me, so I figured I'd just give him a little bit of the taste. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to John 9. We're going to have a conversation about blindness this morning. And I wanted to start off with a little bit of a story, and it's not necessarily about blindness, but just about my son who didn't really listen to me one time. We're walking. My dog, sometimes, we like to walk him without a leash. He does pretty good. He doesn't run away anymore. He used to. But now he kind of stays close. I holler at him. He knows that punishment's coming if he runs away. And so he stays pretty close. And so we're running down the street, and Samuel's riding his bike, and he doesn't have training wheels. It's one of the first times he didn't have training wheels. And we're running down the side of the road. I'm running. He's riding. The dog's riding in between us. And he's loving watching the dog run next to him. But he's riding a bike. And I say, son, if you got to look where you're going when you're riding the bike, otherwise it's not going to end up good. And so we're riding. He kind of thinks, okay, dad, and he's riding. And so we get going, and we go just a little bit further, and this happens. And he ends up in the side of the road in the grass. There wasn't a really huge wipeout, but he wasn't listening about where I told him to look. But today, we're talking about a man who had no ability to even see in John 9, and Jesus comes along, and he fixes that. And so our first point for today is a conversation about a blind man. And so we're going to read John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, if you guys would read with me. It says, as he was passing by, that's Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus answered. This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. So we must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, isn't this the man who sat begging? Some said, he's the one. No, others were saying, but he looks like him. But he kept saying, I'm the one. Therefore, where they asked him, then how were your eyes open? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So when I went and washed, I received my sight. Where is he? They asked. I don't know, he said. The first thing I want us to notice here is that Jesus saw a man that was born blind as he was passing by. This whole story begins with Jesus noticing someone. And isn't that our story? Isn't that the whole reason Jesus came to earth? He saw his creation and the way that in the state that it was in, and he came to be with them. Jesus saw the man, but like a lot of times, someone has to initiate conversation. And a lot of times that a conversation is initiated so that information can be received. That's a lot of times why it is. Sometimes it's to give information, which we'll see a little bit later. But sometimes it's to receive information. So the disciples get to initiate this conversation with Jesus, a conversation about a man born blind. And so in the disciples, they say, Jesus, why was this man born blind, right? And they didn't really even ask why, because they already had an understanding. There was a teaching at that time that your sin caused bad things to happen in your life. That if something was wrong in your life and you weren't all the way blessed, that it was because you're a sinner or that your parents had sinned. And so the disciples really weren't saying, well, we don't know why the bad things happened, because they're like, well, it has to be sin, right? So whose sin is it? If he was born blind, is it his parents' sin, or is it his sin? And so we see in Deuteronomy 5:9, it says this. Here we go. You must not bow down to them or worship them, because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the father's sin to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So we read that verse in the Ten Commandments. It says, I'll punish the children for their father's sin. So the Pharisees and the people of that time read the law, and they figured, okay, well, this man is either, it's either because of his sin or his parents' sin, because God visits the parents' sin. He punishes the children for the sin. And we read along, though, and we read in Deuteronomy 24:16, it says this, though. Fathers are not to be put to death for their children, or children for their fathers. Each person will be put to death for their own sin. So that doesn't quite match up. Like, the children are going to be punished for their father's sin. Yes, they are. Why? Because if you look one verse before, it says that they're going to punish the children. It says, do not make an idol for yourself in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on earth and below in the waters under the earth. The children were going to be punished because of the parents' sin, because they were worshiping idols. And naturally, children tend to worship what their parents worship. And so the children weren't going to be necessarily punished and put to death because of their parents' sin, but they were going to be heavily impacted by their parents going and worshiping idols. It's a different sin. Deuteronomy 24:16 says that each person will be held accountable for their own sin. So yes, do bad things happen because of sin? Yes, they do. Bad things do happen because of sin. Death happens because of sin, right? Romans says the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, we earn something. We earn a wage, and that wage that we earn by our sin is death, and we each earn it ourselves. I've heard it said this way, no one gets grandfathered into the kingdom of heaven, right? So I'm in seminary, I'm taking a couple of classes, and I looked at the course catalog, the 2019-2020, and my degree requires more credits than what I signed up for in 2018. And so I called them and said, hey, this is not what I signed up for. And so I got grandfathered into the program where I don't have to take these new classes that they require people that are just getting signed on, right? They are taking what I had agreed to at the beginning. That's not how the kingdom of heaven works. The kingdom of heaven puts a deadline for each and every single person. You don't just get to come into heaven because your grandma is saved, because your grandma loved Jesus, and because your grandma went to church. A lot of people say, oh yeah, my parents went to church. Your parents going to church does nothing for you because you're going to be held accountable for your own sins. Deuteronomy 24 says that. So why was this man born blind? We're going to continue that conversation, right? The disciples are like, it's got to be his sin or his parents' sin, so whose is it? And Jesus tells them the truth. He says, neither. Why do bad things happen? Bad things happen because of sin. Yes, that's a repercussion. That's the world that we live in. You have to live with consequences sometimes, right? But this man was not born blind because of sin. This man was born blind for a bigger purpose. This man was born blind because God had a plan. Jesus in verse 3 says, neither this man nor his parents. This came about so God's works might be displayed in him. Isn't that a blessing? His blindness was a blessing because God's works got to be displayed through him. That's a higher perspective than we have. This man sat in front, probably of the synagogue, and begged for his livelihood. He didn't have a way to go and work and go and, like, the nowadays here in our society, we have ways that those who are handicapped or don't have necessarily the same functions that you'd say a standard normal person would have. We have ways to kind of help them get through life, right? Blind people even play soccer with a ball that makes noises, right? I don't even understand it, but we've made a way for that. Back in this day, there was nothing for a blind man. He was nothing. He was treated as nothing. But Jesus says it wasn't because of sin. It was so that God's works could be displayed through him. This man was not blind without purpose. This man was blind with purpose, and God had that purpose, and we're going to see what that is here in just a minute, right? It's that the works of God might be displayed through him. We'll get there. The next thing we have, right, is we're going to read, it's a big chunk, John 13 through 34. So follow along with me as I read. This conversation is vital. It's important. It's a long chunk of scripture, but I think we need to read it all. Verse 13, they brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees. The day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes was a Sabbath. So again, the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, he told them. I washed and I can see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a sinful man perform such signs? And there was a division among them. Again, they asked the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? What do you say, blind man? He's a prophet, he said. The Jews did not believe this about him, that he was blind and received sight. They didn't believe he was blind. Until they summoned the parents of the one who had received his sight. They asked him, is this your son, the one who you say was born blind? How then does he see? We know this is our son, that he was born blind, his parents answered, but we don't know how he now sees, and we don't know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews, since the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him as Messiah, he would be banned from the synagogue. This is why his parents said, he's of age. Ask him. So a second time they summoned the man who had been blind and told him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I can see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I already told you, he said, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you? They ridiculed him. You're that man's disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from. This is my favorite part. This is an amazing thing, the man told them. You don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Throughout history, no one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. You were born entirely in sin, they replied, and are you trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. Whew. That's a story right there. That's a conversation. And that conversation was about a man named Jesus. They wanted to know, who healed you? How did that happen? What's going on? And you see, we have three conclusions here in this passage. That's why I wanted to read the whole thing. There's three conclusions about this man named Jesus. Number one, a man was healed. We can't get over that, right? We have in the scriptures, the way God's law is written, it tells us that in the mouth of two or more witnesses is a testimony made sure. And so these guys, they don't believe this man that he was born blind. Even his neighbors didn't recognize him. They're like, that looks like him, but that's not him. And so they have to get down, right down to it, and they say, okay, bring his parents. And so his parents come, and they're like, yes, this is our son. And he can see. That's two things you can't argue with. There's two witnesses, and the man can see. That's at least three. One of the conclusions about the man named Jesus is that something had been done. Something had been done. A man was healed. And the Pharisees take issue with that because the second conclusion that was made was that Jesus was a sinner. Jesus was a sinner because something had been done. Not that the blind man was healed, but that work had been done. And this is where the Pharisees get all kind of sidetracked because they read God's law and they read into God's law. They bring their preconceived notions of what the law says and make it say what it doesn't. In Deuteronomy, back to the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, it says this. We're going to read a couple verses. Deuteronomy 5, 12 says, be careful to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, any of your livestock, or the foreigner who lives within your gates, that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is important. The Sabbath day has been set aside by God as a day of rest, a day to not work. So what did the Pharisees have issue with? Jesus wasn't working, was he? He was in their eyes. Because in the Mishnah Shabbat, which is the first work of rabbinic literature, they call it their oral Torah, or the oral law. This is a law that the rabbis had written to explain God's law. So they followed these laws that spoke of the other laws instead of just following the first laws. And in the Mishnah Shabbat 8:5, it says this, as it concerns to carrying out earth, it says this, rabbis say the measure of liability is much smaller, equivalent to the seal of letters. Sealing a letter, you ever sealed an envelope with a stamp on the back of it? It's about the size of an eye, isn't it? Jesus did work according to their law twice over. So they said, this man is a sinner because he's working on the Sabbath. But they didn't get that this man was being healed. That part was irrelevant because Jesus spit in the ground, made mud, and put it on this man's eyes and commanded him to go and wash, thereby making the man who went and washed a sinner too. There's sin all over the place, and the Pharisees can't handle it because they just think that God doesn't hear sinners. But wait, who said that? The man that was born blind said that, because the man that was born blind was listening. He didn't have eyes to see, but he had ears to hear. So when he heard the Pharisees teaching, he threw their words back at them. That's why I said that's my favorite part. Right there in verse 30, he says, "You know that God doesn't hear sinners." That's what you said. So the Pharisees got all upset and they kick him out of the temple. Say, get out of here. What are you trying to do? Tell us our teachings, right? I know I wouldn't like that, right? When I tell my son something and he goes, but Dad, you say this. You're right. I can imagine the Pharisees being so upset because they see that this man doesn't keep the Sabbath. Give glory to God. We know this man's a sinner. Their conclusion about Jesus was that he's a sinner, but what is the conclusion of the blind man? What is the conclusion about the blind man? The blind man says that Jesus was a prophet. How else could it be? Look at what he's done. There's no other way than that he's a man of God. How are you getting around this? There's something in your brain that's not clicking to let you know that this man is a prophet and he's from God. He has to be from God. According to the way that you teach things, he's from God, and you don't get it? So they kick him out. The third conversation is a conversation about the Son of Man. We see it progress. Blind man, a man named Jesus, who is he? We've made some conclusions. What about the Son of Man? What does it do for the guy? All the guy knows is that Jesus is a prophet and that he can see. What does that do for him? He just got kicked out of the temple. Where is he going to go worship God now? That's where he's supposed to. That's where if he's going to obey God, he's going to go to the temple and he's going to worship. But he's been kicked out now. What is he going to do? Jesus catches wind of this. Look at verse 35. We'll read to the end of the chapter, and then we'll get to our last point of the day. When Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out, he found him and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir, that I might believe in him?" he asked. Jesus answered, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." "I believe, Lord," he said, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and asked him, "We aren't blind too, are we?" "If you were blind," Jesus told them, "you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Jesus sees this man. He hears what happens to him, and he seeks him out. And we talked about initiating a conversation to get information. Jesus initiated a conversation to give information. He is the light of the world. He must work while he's here. The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. He initiated the conversation with all of us, and he initiates the conversation to give information here with the blind man. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the Son of Man is a term for the Messiah, the one that was promised to save, the coming king from the line of David that would rule and reign forever. And Jesus was asking this man, do you believe in him? Of course this man believes in him. Look what God has done for his life. He was born blind and now he sees. Where is he so that I can believe? Where is he that I may worship him? He already believes. He's a believer. He just doesn't know it. He believes in the promised Messiah, the Son of Man, the one that's come to seek and save the lost, the one who's come to save the world and that's going to be king forever. He believes. Where is he so that I can worship? And Jesus said, right here. It's me. I'm speaking with you now. And he says, I believe, Lord. What a story. Do you believe? Do you have a story like that? Where you don't know anything else about anything in the world except what Jesus has done for you. He didn't know exactly who Jesus was, but he knew what Jesus did. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you know that he left a perfect world in heaven? A perfect life in heaven with no sin around him? Angels singing holy, holy, holy every hour of every day, bathed in glory and giving it up to be with us here on this earth and to suffer for something that he didn't do. He died on the cross. He died the punishment of sinners. Remember what it said? He's not going to punish the fathers for the sins of the son or the son for the sins of the father. Like, God is just. He is righteous. He is holy. He's not going to punish someone who hasn't sinned. But he did. He did it for you. He did it for me. Why did he do it? So that we could see. So that we could see him. So that he could introduce us to himself. And you say, well, I've been introduced to Jesus. I've heard of Jesus all my life. Okay, do you know what he's done? Because there's a difference between knowing what he's done and bowing at his feet. There's a huge difference. Because the Pharisees knew what he did. He healed a blind man. And you say, well, it's not fair because Jesus went up and said, hey, I am the Son of Man. I am he. And that man worshiped you. They say, well, it's not fair because he went to the blind man and he healed him. And then he said, I am the Son of Man. It's me. The Messiah you're looking for is me. And you're like, well, he didn't say that to the Pharisees. Yes, he did in John chapter 8. They're talking about who their father is. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to throw at him. There's two different conclusions about who Jesus is. When Jesus said, I am God, the Pharisees picked up stones. When Jesus said that to the blind man, he worshiped. What was the Pharisees' issue? What was the Pharisees' issue? We look back in John chapter 9. What was their issue? 9:16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. How can a sinful man perform such signs? They had already decided Jesus was a sinful man instead of hearing him out. Verse 24 of chapter 9. So second time, they summoned the man who had been blind, and we told him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Verse 22. The way his parents answered. His parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews, since the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him as Messiah, he would be banned from the synagogue. The Jews had already decided who Jesus was. And that was their problem. Because so many times we come to the scriptures and we come to read God's word and we have an idea of who God is and we have an idea of what we want to hear from the Bible. And so we decide what the Bible says and we get to interpret it to what our heart's content is. And that's wrong. We can see that in the Pharisees, because they decided what God's law was saying, and they didn't let God tell them what his law was saying. The blind man got to see because he was listening, not looking. Why were they blind? Because they thought they could see. And they couldn't. They had already decided on what was the truth, when the truth was standing right in front of them. Romans 3 says this: no one is righteous, not even one. We're all born blind. Just some of us like to pretend that we can see. Don't fall in that trap. Because it says there is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks God. This is Romans 10. 11, no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, all have become useless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they deceive with their tongues. Viper's venom is under their lips, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, ruin and wretchedness are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know why there's no fear of God before their eyes? Because they don't see him. And you say, well, that's Romans. They didn't know that. No, that's Paul quoting the Old Testament. They knew those scriptures. They had warnings. But now we know that whatever the law says speaks to those who are subject to the law, so that every mouth may be shut and the whole world may become subject to God's judgment. For no one will be justified in his sight by the works of the law, because the knowledge of sin comes through the law. Why was the law given? So that we would know we're sinners and we're in need. Why was the law given? So that we could see that we're blind, not so that we can look at the law and do what it says and be like, oh yeah, I'm set. I know what God tells me to do. Yeah, I'm getting in. I've done a lot of good. No, the Bible says you don't do good at all. And you need him to open your eyes to see it. The law shows you that you're blind. It's like being in a dark room. Being in a dimly lit cave and you're not light at all, not dimly lit, no light at all, and you don't recognize the nonsense and the disgusting around you, the spider webs, the snakes, everything around you, until a light gets switched on, and then you turn around and you see and you think, I gotta get out of here. These Pharisees lived in the dark because they didn't let God's law be the light to reveal to them that they were blind. But Jesus came and stepped on the scene and said, I'm the light of the world. Come to me and be saved. But now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets, that is God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's one we know, right? What about verse 24? They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know what Jesus has done for you? The blind man did. Do you know that he died on the cross and rose again to give you life? That if you would come to him, that you would confess him, you would have eternal life in him, that by faith his righteousness would be counted to your account? That God wouldn't look at you and see a sinner, but that he'd see the righteousness of his own son and welcome you into the kingdom? Do you know that? Or have you already decided on who Jesus was? Who Jesus is? And let me tell you, if you haven't come to the conclusion that you're a sinner, if you haven't come to the conclusion that you need a Savior, here's the remedy. Here's the way to notice your blindness. Meet with Jesus. Get to know him. I haven't had very many super heavy spiritual conversations with my dad. And a few weeks ago, my dad was visiting, and we got to go shooting at the gun range. And I've never done that, like, at a range. I went shooting at Brent and Stacia's house, and my wife beat me skeet shooting. We won't talk about that. But I went with my dad and a couple other guys here at the church, and we went shooting, and we were driving home, and we were talking about the scriptures that we were reading. And we were talking about how The question came up of, if you only had one book of the Bible, which one would you pick? Which one would you choose? And that's a hard question, isn't it? Which book of the Bible would you choose? And my dad instantly said, John. Not Romans, right? Somebody said Genesis, you get to know how it all happened. Someone said Luke. My dad instantly, no questions, no debating, no thing, oh, well, Timothy's really good, and James is a really good book too, and tells you kind of how to live your Christian life. And my dad said, John, don't even talk about anything else. Why are you so hard? I mean, my dad's a person that gets pretty hard set on things, right? Why John? And he told me this. He told me the story of his salvation. And I knew it, kind of. I knew I was two, and my parents were about to get divorced. My mom was about to leave my dad, and my dad was at home, and he had kind of just come to his wit's end. And God, if you're real, you gotta show up. He grew up Jehovah's Witness. He grew up in a Catholic church. He grew up not believing anything. His parents were divorced. He was all over the place, and he had a first marriage that kind of fell apart, and he wasn't doing good things. And he said, I was at home, and these two guys came to the door, and they shared the gospel with me. And there was a guy at work. I went to work, and I said, hey, I got saved. And that guy at his work said, Alex, that's so exciting. We've been praying for you at lunch at our Bible study for 6 months. We've been praying that God would save you for 6 months. And my dad's like, where do I begin? Where do I go? What do I do? I don't even know where to start. I think I need a Bible. And the guy's like, yeah, you need a Bible. Go get yourself a Bible. My dad said, I went to the store, and I said, I want the oldest Bible you have. And they said, well, here's like a 1619 original language. I mean, it was like a $400 Bible. He said, I want that one, but not the I want the cheap one. and his buddy had told him, hey, you go get yourself a Bible, and you go read the book of John. You spend tonight, just read the book of John. And my dad, it was crazy because we were sitting in the car, we're driving home, it's not very far, right? But my dad was able to tell me the story, and he said, I read the book of John that night, and I went in the next morning, and I said to my friend, I said, hey, did you know that Jesus is God? Jesus is God. Do you believe it? I believe it. I know that Jesus is God. I read John, and it told me that Jesus is God, that everything that he did for me, dying on the cross, was God himself dying for me. Do you know that? Yes, Alex, I know that. My dad's name is Alex, just in case you're confused. Yes, Alex, I know that. Jesus is God. If you haven't already made up your mind about Jesus, read the book of John and get to know him. Read the rest of the Bible and the law to know and understand that you are blind without him. And all it takes is to confess, I believe, Lord, and worship. I'm a sinner that needs you. When you confess that sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness because of what his Son, the Son of Man, the God of the universe, has done for you. If you'd like to do that today, come talk to one of us pastors up front. If you don't want to do that today, and you want to figure out who God is and who Jesus was, read the Bible. Let it tell you what it's telling you. Don't go at it seeing. Go at it blind and let God show you who he is. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this story of the man that was born blind. God, he was not born blind. He was not born blind because of his parents' sin or because of his sin, but that he could, that the works of God might be displayed in him. We have people come to you in the scriptures and say, God, what are the works of God that we might do them? And Jesus tells them the works of God is to believe on the one whom he has sent. God, the only work that we can ever do or even attempt to do is to believe. I pray you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear your word, your truth about who your son is, what he's done for us on the cross. That we would know that we're a sinner in need of salvation. I pray if there's anyone here that hasn't made that decision to fall on their knees and worship the God who saved them, who has paid the price to buy them back, that they would do that today, that they would confess their sins to you, they would believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray.